The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
Well, welcome. This isn't Bob Siegel, but this is Michaeline Friedenberg filling in for Bob tonight. I am so grateful that I have this opportunity, and I really thank you for joining me. I am the president and the CEO of a nonprofit organization called Life Perspectives, and we provide healing resources for men, women, family members, and friends who have been impacted by abortion or miscarriage. And we also provide training as well. For those in the faith community, as well as community clinics and mental health professionals. Tonight, we're going to be spending some time talking about one of those losses, a loss that impacts many of us, but which is often hidden. We don't talk about it very often. In fact, we're told that about 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 4, depending on the research that you're looking at, pregnancies ends in miscarriage. That's about 1 million miscarriages every year. So 1 million couples are experiencing the loss of their child throughout their pregnancy. This, of course, impacts the woman, it impacts the man, and it often impacts their entire family. And yet, because culturally, we don't really acknowledge this type of loss, we often find that the men and women who are impacted feel isolated. They feel alone. They really feel like they're the only ones, and they really don't know who to turn to for help. In fact, I'll often have men and women tell me that they've just felt like there's nothing out there, that they're desperate for somebody to be able to talk to about this, somebody who can acknowledge their loss and who can support them. This month is actually Pregnancy Awareness Month, and today is Miscarriage Awareness Day. So I thought it would be an appropriate time when Bob asked me to fill in for him to take some time to talk about the silent grief, the silent pain that impacts so many of us. I'm going to be bringing on a couple guests as we go throughout the show, and of course you are invited to call in as well to 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Perhaps you have a question about how you can support someone, how you can help someone, or maybe you'd like to share a story of your own. It's fine if you'd like to reveal your name, and it's certainly fine if you do not want to. All are welcome to call. I'd also encourage those who maybe this is already, maybe your heart's beating a little faster because this is about you, but maybe you don't feel comfortable calling in. So let me give you a website that you can go to. It's called miscarriagehurts.com. That's miscarriagehurts.com. That's an anonymous place where you can go. You can read other stories. Maybe you'd like to anonymously submit your story. There's some healing activities. Or maybe today you would like to memorialize the loss of your child by putting their name and the date of their departure on the memorial wall. There's also some links on there if you are interested or if you need some additional help in addition to what you can find there on the website. And we'll be hearing about some other resources as well. So yes, this is a bit of a heavy topic, a sorrowful topic. But on the other hand, there is so much that we can do to support others. And I know that often what I hear from people, I think of this past week, I spent some time in Washington, D.C., was asked to come and to do some trainings for a couple different groups. And what I heard there and what I hear so often is that they'll tell me, my mom has lost a child through miscarriage, or my friend or a colleague, and I simply don't know what to say to them. In fact, one of the men was telling me that he was so uncertain what to do for his friend that they've just kind of lost touch. It now seems awkward for him to reach back out. And we talked about that. And I encouraged him to do that, to reach actually back out and tell his friend exactly what he told me, that he saw the pain that he was in. He did not know what to say. He didn't want to make it worse. And so, not knowing what to do, he said nothing at all. But he still thinks about him. He's on his mind, and he wants to support him. And I have found when people do that, that right there begins healing of that relationship. But also, the person on the receiving end is so grateful to know that they were being thought about, and that their loss and their pain was acknowledged. And that they now have somebody that if they'd like to talk to about it, or maybe they don't want to talk to about, but at least they can be there for them, that they can do that together. Again, if you're struggling with this, I would encourage you to go to miscarriagehurts.com. And when we do come back from the break, we're not going to go there right now, but I'm really excited to have on as our guest Dr. Salome Dubinetsky. And she is a mental health therapist. She focuses specifically on reproductive grief and loss. And she's going to share with us her own story of loss, her story of healing. And then also throughout our time together, we'll be able to talk more about what you can do to help to support someone. And she'll also be telling us about some wonderfully supportive services that probably you're not aware of that actually exist here in San Diego. And then later we'll also have on Jody Kennedy, and she's going to be telling us about a wonderful event that's happening in just a couple weeks, October 28th down at De Anza Cove in Mission Bay. It's called the Side-by-Side 5K, and it is very specifically to bring awareness and to acknowledge and for all of us to come together and to say to those who are struggling or who are hurting that you are not alone, that I am here with you. But let's take just a couple more moments again to talk about that. I mentioned about 1 million miscarriages that occur every year, and that it impacts the men, the women, the family members, and friends. But when I'm saying that, I'm certainly not trying to suggest that we all experience this loss the same. We don't. It's a unique experience. The meaning that we have around that loss is going to be different for each person. Perhaps the number of losses will impact as well. You could imagine, not that it's minimizing the loss of one miscarriage at all, but if you are now having three or your fourth miscarriage, you could imagine how that then you have the losses of each of those children. And then on top of that, perhaps now you're losing hope that you will be able to have a living child. So you can imagine the type of grief that is happening there, the loss of those children, and perhaps the loss of the ability to be able to parent at all, or at least to naturally bring a child into the world. Sometimes also, perhaps there had been another loss before that miscarriage, but this was a loss that was chosen, if you will. It was a pregnancy that was terminated. It was an abortion. And I will often hear from men and women who have made that decision in their past, and then in a later pregnancy, they miscarry that pregnancy. The guilt that they feel that somehow this was their fault, or perhaps they're being punished. Now, we know that that isn't true, but that's what their mind and their heart is telling them. In fact, I think of a pastor who had shared with me, and actually the whole group that we were training, I was surprised when he got up to wrap things up, he decided to share his story. So for him and his wife, when they first newly married, newly graduated from seminary, his first job at a church, and they found out they were pregnant. It was a surprise. And they really, really wondered, would they be able to financially take care of this child? And they struggled and agonized over that decision. And even though they didn't feel good about the decision that they had made, they decided they were going to have an abortion, and they made an appointment. But before they could go in and have that abortion, she ended up miscarrying the child. So they were grieving the loss of this child, but they felt so confused. They felt like they had caused it. But then they also felt like, do they have any right to grieve when they had intended to go and terminate the pregnancy? And he just said he felt awful, awful over the loss of the child, awful over watching his wife struggle. And then when she became pregnant again, they miscarried. And the third time, and the fourth time. He told me that after each miscarriage, he blamed himself. He said that if he had only been enough of a man, enough of a husband, a good enough Christian, that they would have never, ever scheduled that first abortion, and that somehow then these children would be alive. And he took that, and he took that burden onto himself. I asked him privately afterwards if he had ever talked to his wife about this. She has since passed. And he said no. He did not want to cause or create any more pain for her. And so rather than having her there for support, rather than talking it out, we don't know what she would have said, but I'm going to imagine that she didn't blame him. He didn't have that opportunity. He carried that burden alone. And he carried that burden then past a time where he would actually be able to work it out with her. So certainly every story is unique. Some won't feel the loss very keenly. Some feel that they're back to, if you will, kind of back to things as normal, if that's possible, maybe a couple months after the miscarriage. And then there are those who, it's a couple years, and they're still having a lot of trouble getting through the day. And so if you think of other losses in your life, not a reproductive loss, but other losses, you can probably relate to that, how for some people, it seems to resolve more quickly than others. Maybe you've observed that in your family, and that's really normal. There's not a right or a wrong way to grieve. But what we really do need is to have someone to support us in that grieving process. So when we come back, we're going to welcome Dr. Salome Dubinetsky. Again, this is Michaeline filling in for Bob Siegel on The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Michaeline Friedenberg filling in for Bob. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're actually taking a pause tonight to talk about something a little bit different. It's Miscarriage Awareness Day, and so we thought that this would be a time to acknowledge those who have lost a child through miscarriage, to let them know that they're not alone, and then to also talk about healing and how we can support each other. And to help me do that, I have Dr. Salome Dubinetsky on the line with me.
Yes. Salome. Hi, Michaeline.
Oh, hello. I am so grateful that you have agreed to come on tonight to take some time away from your family and talk about this.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to discuss an issue that is so important and that is so close to my heart.
Oh, well, I am so grateful that you're here, and I appreciate, Salome, that you are willing to be transparent with us and share some of your story. And I know that, well, why don't you begin by telling us your story of this loss began about 5 years ago, correct?
Yes. 5 years ago, I lost my beautiful baby boy when I was 38 weeks pregnant. Mm. And having to cope as a parent with the birth and death of your child at the same time brings with it such unspeakable pain. And the fact that there's such a lack of attention on the issue of reproductive loss often leaves parents like myself feeling that the loss of their child is looked upon as being a non-event or an invisible death.
Oh, my goodness. Salome, I can't even imagine that type of pain and what you and your family have gone through. Now, was this something, did you have any, like, inkling that this might happen?
There was a couple of concerns throughout my pregnancy, but nothing that we had even thought that there was even a possibility that we were going to lose our son. I think that's why his loss was so deep, because of the fact that it was so unexpected, which so often is for parents when they are experiencing a reproductive loss. And although I was so blessed with support from my amazing husband and amazing parents and amazing mother-in-law, I still remember feeling so completely alone. And I remember sitting in that hospital bed after he had passed away, just thinking to myself that all I wanted at that moment, sitting there, was just to sit across the bed from another mom who had experienced what I had gone through, and just for her to hold my hand and just to let me know everything's going to be okay.
Right, yeah. And I think you had mentioned to me that, at the time, you certainly with your therapeutic training that you've had, that you still felt at a loss of what to do.
Absolutely. Here I was. I was a psychotherapist, and yet I still felt completely alone. And it is the fact that reproductive loss is just an issue that is not discussed. And the fact that in the United States, according to the CDC, each year 24,000 babies are stillborn. Mm-hmm. But yet we often don't hear about this.
Right.
And the lack of attention and awareness really prevents us from really understanding how to provide support to parents who are experiencing this loss.
Yes. Yeah. And you bring up a really good point. I think when I was doing some initial research some years back and fell upon the statistic that one out of 80 pregnancies ends in stillbirth here in the United States, I was just shocked. I think there's just kind of this, we kind of think, well, here we live in the country with some of the best healthcare in the world, and we somehow imagine that that will not happen. And then I also know in a recent survey, I believe it was published or talked about in NPR, that when the American public was surveyed and asked how many miscarriages or how many pregnancies they thought were lost in miscarriage every year, they guessed about 5%. And certainly any miscarriage and any loss of a child this way would be significant, but that is much, much less than the reality of having 20 to 25% of pregnancies. And so I think because of that, that really leaves us at a loss of, we're unaware of how many people are impacted around us, and then we really don't know what to do.
Exactly, exactly. That's why I'm so honored to have this discussion with you tonight, just to bring more awareness to such an important issue.
Yes. Well, maybe if you would, and I know this might be really difficult, you're describing that you're in the hospital room and you're longing to have somebody there. And I'm just wondering, and you had great support from family and friends, which is wonderful. And as you already kind of alluded to, that isn't always the case. And not because our family and friends are unfeeling, but because they simply just don't know what to do in this instance. But I'm wondering, the medical personnel, were they able to be helpful to you?
I was very blessed when I had lost my son to have amazing hospital staff and professionals. But often that is actually not the case. I've heard from so many mothers and fathers where their experience in the hospital was so poor, and it actually led to exacerbating the grief that they were experiencing from the loss of their child. Mm-hmm. I think often hospital and medical professionals don't really understand the effect that their role can have on parents. When parents come to a hospital when they're experiencing a reproductive loss, this is the first point of contact that these parents are having with the hospital staff. So their behavior and the way they talk to the parents and the way they reach out to them can greatly affect their grief.
Right. And what do you attribute that to?
I think there's a couple things. I think one of it is the fact that often reproductive loss is looked upon more as a medical event. Mm-hmm. The hospital professionals, and less really as here are these parents who are coping with the loss of their child. And I think the other one is definitely the fact that often medical professionals, nurses, doctors, social workers, they don't really have the training of what to do when parents are experiencing this loss. I think they want to reach out and help, but they truly don't really know how to. They don't want to make the situation any worse.
Right, boy, and I hear that so often, right? We don't want to make the situation any worse. All right, well, Salome, we're going to continue our conversation when we come back from the break. Again, you're listening to The Bob Siegel Show with Michaeline Friedenberg.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785 That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
What better review of a book than to check with the customers themselves? Here is a recent customer review of Bob Siegel's fantasy novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Superior. As a middle school teacher, I am a prolific reader of juvenile fiction and an even tougher critic of the genre. With that said, I experienced sheer delight in reading the page-turner, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament by Bob Siegel. Mike, the sixth grade protagonist in the story, is a well-drawn character with all the weaknesses and strengths of a 12-year-old. Mike's e-ticket adventure engages the reader with his shenanigans of making his veggies disappear, cat talk, and creating a twin who doubles for him. Not only that, Bob Siegel skillfully weaves a subtle moral message with the metaphoric thread, which encourages a kid to be the best version of himself, all the while addressing the various angst of preteens. Finally, I was captivated to the last page, but disappointed when the Christmas ride of the magical ornament came to a satisfying conclusion. I can't wait for the sequel. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Michaeline Friedenberg filling in for Bob. Today we're taking some time to acknowledge all of the men, women, and family members who've lost a family member through miscarriage or stillbirth. We're fortunate to have a wonderful guest on, and before I bring Salome back in, I just do want to remind you that if this is resonating with you, you can certainly feel free to give us a call at 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Or perhaps you'd be more comfortable to visit our website anonymously. And you can do that at miscarriagehurts.com. That's miscarriagehurts.com. So before the break, Salome was sharing with us the story of losing her son at 38 weeks of pregnancy and some of that process that she went through. And I'm wondering, Salome, could you describe to us, we know everyone's experience is unique, but what were some of the emotions that you were going through maybe immediately and then maybe in those weeks and months that followed?
Absolutely. Immediately, you just feel this overwhelming heartache and grief. But to be honest, I felt, like many moms actually, feel a great deal of guilt and shame because I felt that it may have been something that I had done, or it was the fact that I was shameful that I wasn't able to fulfill this biological function of having a child.
Wow.
And that was very difficult for a woman to experience and having to cope with those feelings.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And again, I know that every person's experience is unique. Their emotions are unique. But your description of feeling shame and guilt, where I know that might surprise someone who has not actually gone through the experience, I would imagine for those who have, that they're right now, they're just nodding their heads and they're saying, yes, you know, that's me. I felt that way too.
Absolutely. One of the hardest questions that parents who have experienced a loss is when someone asks you, how many children do you have? Mm-hmm. That question often stops you in your tracks because you don't know how to answer.
That's right. How do you choose to answer?
I'm going to be honest. When people ask me that, I say three. And if they begin asking questions like, how old are they? And then I let them know about my son who passed. And sometimes it makes people uncomfortable. Because they don't know how to respond, but that's okay. I actually have a great deal of compassion for their discomfort. Mm-hmm. But I have three children, and I think by bringing more awareness to the issue of reproductive loss, people can have more compassion and empathy for parents like me who've had to endure such unspeakable pain.
Absolutely. And I would imagine, you know, how it is kind of with anything, when we don't talk about it, We have had no, we don't have many skills. We haven't had the opportunity to actually practice. And so in addition to honoring your son, you're giving them the opportunity. I would imagine some share their losses with you when you share that with them. And then if that isn't even the case, at least it gives them the opportunity to kind of practice. You're able to model for them how to be able to listen and how to be able to support. So you mentioned three children. Yeah. And I'm thinking back, you had a young one when you lost your son.
Yes, my daughter was 2 at the time.
Wow. How did this impact her?
Honestly, she was too young to really understand, but she is older now, and she knows that she has a little brother, and she talks about him, and she prays for him, and our son has his own place in our family. So when my husband and I decided to have our third daughter, there were never feelings of guilt for having another baby because our third child never replaced our second child because our son has his own place in our family. And no one could take his place.
Right, right. And I'm thinking, actually, as you say that, like, culturally, if people do say things, they tend to say things that I know they're trying to be helpful, but do tend to be hurtful and minimizing. You know, things like, oh, you could always have another, as if that would ever replace your son, as you've just so eloquently said.
Absolutely. You would never hear someone say to, for example, a husband who's lost his wife, oh, it's okay, you can get married again. That form of loss is, of course, socially supported in our culture. And so it should be also the same for parents who are experiencing a reproductive loss.
So what are some helpful things that we could say to somebody?
I think it's as simple as, I'm so sorry for your loss, and what can I do? I think friends and family, they want to feel that they are helping, but they just don't know how to. And even small tasks, I know for my family, they were so loving and so kind, that things like they even wanting to, like, do our laundry, because they just wanted something, some task for them to feel that they were helping, because they felt so helpless. They wanted more than anything to take our pain and our heartache away. And they knew they couldn't, but they just wanted to do anything they could to help us.
Right. I can certainly relate to that. And in fact, it really is quite a gift from the person who is hurting when they allow us to do these types of things, because we feel so helpless that we want to feel like we're doing something. But it's also the way that we display our love and our support for each other. So I'm wondering then, with your subsequent pregnancy, I know that you already said that you did not feel guilt, you and your husband, because of the way that you chose to move through the grieving process and the way that you honor and embrace your son as part of your family. But I'm wondering if there was any other impact as you moved through that next pregnancy.
Absolutely. I had a great deal of anxiety and concern throughout my pregnancy with my daughter, due to the fact that I had lost my son at 38 weeks. So I remember taking my first real breath when I heard her cry. Because of the fact that we had lost my son a week before he was supposed to be born. So I never really felt safe in having to deal with all that anxiety of, oh my goodness, are we going to lose her again? And I remember it took a great deal of faith for me to buy her things to put in her nursery and decorating her nursery and picking out her name because of the fact that I was so fearful that we were going to lose her. But I just did not want to miss out on her life. I was going to celebrate her life, and I was going to buy her things, and I was going to have a party for her, and I was just not going to miss out on this amazing little girl.
Mm. So you were able to acknowledge the way that you were feeling while at the same time being able to be completely present with that pregnancy. When we come back from the break, let's talk about that a little bit more. And then I would love to have you share about some of the wonderful healing services that you're involved in. So again, you are listening to The Bob Siegel Show with Michaeline Friedenberg.
Thank you.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching of nationally famous speaker Pastor Jim Garlow. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Michaeline Friedenberg filling in for Bob. I am the president and CEO of Life Perspectives. We're a nonprofit organization that provides healing resources and training around reproductive loss after miscarriage and abortion. And today, on Miscarriage Awareness Day, we're taking some time to acknowledge all those who have lost a family member through miscarriage. We have a wonderful guest who is on the line with me, Dr. Salome Dubinetsky, who has shared her story with me of losing her middle child late in the pregnancy, the emotions that she felt, some of the things that weren't helpful, and then those that were helpful for her. And she was telling us about the anxiety that she had felt in a subsequent pregnancy and how she was able to, I don't know if I'd say overcome it, but she was able to still embrace and prepare for the eventual birth of her daughter. And I'm wondering, Salome, is that something that's common for other women?
Absolutely. In fact, research has demonstrated that 60% of women will get pregnant again within the first year of experiencing a loss. And often becoming pregnant, having a subsequent pregnancy, results in a great deal of psychological distress, such as anxiety and depression, because of the fact that they've lost a previous child and they are so nervous and have such, and there may be unresolved grief from the previous loss that can be presented during a subsequent pregnancy.
I could certainly imagine how that would be the case. And I have another question. So I know that you had lost your son so late in the pregnancy. As you said, you're expecting him to be born a week later. So I'm wondering, is this same type of anxiety around a subsequent pregnancy, is that also present for those who lose children much earlier, say at 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks in their pregnancy?
Absolutely. The anxiety is very common for parents who have experienced a previous loss. 20% of women experience the anxiety and depression during their next pregnancy, whether they've had a miscarriage or stillbirth. And it's very important to address these issues, and it's very important for medical professionals such as OBGYNs to really do a thorough obstetric screening during the subsequent pregnancy, especially because it also allows for the OBGYN to really understand if there's any unresolved grief that the mother is experiencing during her subsequent pregnancy. And if so, provide her resources that will allow her to have a very healthy pregnancy for both her and her child.
That certainly makes a lot of sense. And I really appreciate, Salome, that you often refer to the parents, that you're referring to the man and the woman involved. Because unfortunately, I think sometimes if we focus at all around this, we tend to focus exclusively on her. And we forget about the very real feelings and the way that he's impacted and the support that he needs as well.
Absolutely. The focus will always be more on the woman. Family members and friends will often ask, how is she doing? What can we do for her? And often don't relate those same questions to the husband or the man in the relationship of how are you feeling? What can we do for you?
Right. You know, I want to go back to when you were first sharing your story with us. You had said something. You had said that as you sat in the bed in that hospital room, that you were just longing to have another woman sit across from you who had gone through this, so that you would know you're not alone, and that you would have someone there who would understand. And you actually took that experience and that desire, and you've done something very practical and beautiful with that, haven't you?
Yes, I'm so proud and honored to talk about the Mother to Mother program. And the Mother to Mother program is affiliated with the wonderful organization Empty Cradle. And what the Mother to Mother program is, it's an in-hospital based peer support group, and we consist of volunteers who are other parents who have also experienced loss. So when there's a newly grieving parent who's experiencing a reproductive loss of miscarriage, stillbirth, infant death, the parents can reach out to one of the volunteers, and the volunteers will go to the hospital room to provide social support, to normalize the grief that the parents are experiencing, and recognize and validate their loss. And this is very important because often when parents go home, there may be a lack of social support being provided to them. So it's important for the volunteers to provide this social support so parents are aware that they're not alone before they're discharged and walk out of that hospital.
That is, what an amazing, amazing service. You mentioned something. You said that it helps, the volunteers help to normalize their grief. What do you mean by that?
When you're experiencing reproductive loss, you have all these different emotions going on inside of you. And so it's wonderful to have another mother or father there who says, I went through the same thing, it's okay. Almost giving permission for the parent to feel what they're feeling and to do so without judgment.
That makes a lot of sense. I think that always it gives us permission to grieve, and we don't feel like we have to set it aside because maybe there's something wrong with us and the way that we're feeling.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you mentioned that you partner with Empty Cradle for the Mother to Mother program. Can you tell us a little bit more about Empty Cradle and what they offer?
Absolutely. Empty Cradle is a wonderful organization. It's a nonprofit organization run entirely by volunteers and families who've experienced the loss of a baby through miscarriage, stillbirth, infant death, or SIDS. And the volunteers of this amazing program offer emotional support, friendship, and community education. And the group was actually organized in 1982.
So they've been around a bit. Can you tell us right now how they can reach either Mother to Mother or Empty Cradle?
Absolutely. I have a phone number for Empty Cradle, who provide wonderful social support services. The phone number is area code 619-595-3887. And for the Mother to Mother program, we have a wonderful email of mothertomother@emptycradle.org.
Fantastic. Salome, thank you so much for coming on with us. And we are sorry for the loss of your son. I am so grateful, though, for the support that you have received and the support that you give to others. Okay, thank you again for listening to The Bob Siegel Show with Michaeline Friedemer. We'll be back in a moment.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who've shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they'd hope would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen, since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Valduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
or fredfalduty.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
Check out this reader's comment about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, but Mr. Siegel's book was like no other I've ever read on the subject. He does not attack the skeptic for his views. He respects the belief of his readers. I highly recommend this book to anyone who's ever had questions or confusion about Christianity. And here's another reader's comment. I come from a Muslim, atheist background, but it still carried weight with me. I normally pass books on to friends when done reading them. This one, I'm holding on to for a while. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, but available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Michaeline Friedenberg filling in for Bob. Thank you so much for joining us. I cannot believe that the hour has almost flown by. Today, we've been taking a moment to pause and to commemorate and support all those who have lost a child through miscarriage. We had just had on the line with us Dr. Salome Dubinetsky sharing her story of losing her son at 38 weeks. What that was like and the support that she found so helpful, and then how she turned that into a way to support other men and women. And I just wanted to, again, share with you the phone number. She had talked about Empty Cradle that offers support groups and other one-on-one support. And their phone number is 619-595-3887. That's 619-595-3887. And then if you wanted more information about the mother-to-mother program, where mothers are paired with other mothers who have lost a child and they actually go and spend time with them in the hospital to give them initial support and to help them through that grieving process, it's mother-to-mother at emptycradle.org. Mother-to-mother at emptycradle.org. And then, of course, if you'd like to visit the Anonymous Healing website, that's miscarriagehurts.com. All right. Well, as we go into wrapping up the show, I wanted to provide you with another opportunity, because so often, hopefully from Salome, you are gaining more of an understanding of what a person goes through and how you might be helpful and supportive to them. But I think often we still feel a little bit helpless, a little bit paralyzed, and we would like to do more. And there is a wonderful opportunity that's coming up for you on October 28th. And I wanted to bring the director of the Side by Side 5K, Jody Kennedy, on to tell us a little bit about this wonderful event. Welcome, Jody.
Thank you, Michaeline.
So, Jody, tell us, it's less than 2 weeks away. Tell us about this event.
I know, we're so close. We're so excited. We have so much great community support and so many great things happening. So as you said, the event is October 28th at De Anza Cove in Mission Bay. We start at 10 a.m., which is a reasonable hour for those of you who don't like to wake up at the crack of dawn, but want to kind of get out there early in the morning. And it's a 5K, which is 3 miles, which almost anybody can do. And we just can't wait to have everybody get out there and support and just kind of show everybody in the community that we're all there for you and that no one has to suffer alone, that we are all there. The event now is being called the Side by Side 5K, which is to kind of give the message that no one is alone. We're all there for you.
That sounds wonderful. What a wonderful and beautiful venue down at De Anza Cove as well. Now, I know you talked about the 5K and the distance of it. So I'm wondering, I happen to know that you are a runner, you're a racer, but for me, I'm kind of more of the strolling kind of person. So could someone like myself participate in this as well?
I mean, that's kind of the beauty of this event, is that it really is there for everybody. It kind of encompasses the runner who wants to race through, and we have awesome medals and prizes for those who want to kind of speed through and win the race. But there's plenty of opportunity for those who just kind of want to be there and hold each other's hands and walk together. And we are all about including everybody, whether you are a runner, a walker, a stroller, or just kind of want to be a part of things and just be at our sort of festival event. It's going to be really awesome. We have some great features. We have Bishop Dolan, who is going to be there speaking, walking, supporting, and he's got a team going. We have KFMB News anchor Dan Cohen, who's going to be our MC. We have great live music. We have so many awesome features. But at the end of the day, it's all about supporting those who want to feel like they're not alone and who want to feel like they have a place that they are being held and supported.
That's wonderful. So where would someone register for the event?
So the place to register is www.sidebyside5k.com, and it's super easy to register. It's a few clicks, and you can register to run or walk. You can register simply to support the organization, and you just click on I just want to donate. There are lots of teams that are already signed up, and you can join a team. You can do it as an individual. It literally supports any way you want to participate, because we welcome everybody.
Fantastic. So remind us again of the date.
It is October 28th, which is a Saturday at 10 a.m. And it's at Deanza Cove in Mission Bay. It's really easy to kind of just pull in and park. There's not a lot of hassle there. And you just kind of come in, and there's going to be lots of great, you know, samples of snacks and juices. We have great sponsors who are there supporting us, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be just a great day of feeling good about being involved and participating and helping.
Thank you. Jody, thank you so much for coming on. And of course, thank you for putting this event on. I think it is a really great proactive way that we can all feel like we are doing something. So you can register at sidebyside5k.com. That's sidebyside5k.com. Thank you so much, Jody. I'm really looking forward to being there with you on the 28th.
Thank you so much, Michaeline. Your support means everything.
Fantastic. Well, I hope that we will see a lot of our listeners down there on Saturday, October 28th at 10 o'clock at Deanza Cove. Again, the website to register is sidebyside5k.com. That's sidebyside5k.com. Now, if maybe you have something that's come up on that day, you have to be somewhere else, you could still sponsor. There are many people who are on the website who've already signed up, so you could just click on there and choose someone that you can actually make a donation and sponsor them and show your support in that way as well. So, as we're wrapping up, I just want to thank you again and remind you, we talked about the statistics in the beginning, about 20 to 25% of pregnancies are lost through miscarriage every year in the United States. That's about 1 million couples who are experiencing a loss, and that impacts their family members and friends as well. I just want you to know that if that's you, you are not alone. I'd also want you to know that you have support. And one of those places that you can find support is miscarriagehurts.com. That's miscarriagehurts.com. Well, thank you again for joining us. Thank you, Bob, for giving me this opportunity. This has been Michaeline Friedenberg on The Bob Siegel Show.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.